you're here. Fellowship's real, knowing you're near.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, September 1st, everyone. We're into a new month. It's all going to get better now.
Oh,
From
it is.
This point forward, it's
yeah.
all going to be smooth sailing.
Things are going good now.
Especially you teachers.
We're praying for you.
A lot of stress, multitasking, no time for breaks. You're doing like three jobs instead of the one because you have some students maybe Zoomed and some in the class. Room, and don't you know a child came down with COVID, so now you have to do special
arrangements. Oh, Mark, you paint such a picture. You're supposed to be encouraging
people. We're praying them up, but we're going to help them be joyful always, even in those circumstances. That's what we talked about yesterday.
We are praying for you, teachers.
And so we have our returning special guests, more than guests, actually great friends, supporters of the ministry, very involved in being used of God in a variety of ways, with speaking engagements, with authoring books, with a special podcast, with your Live Life Intentionally program, your little one-minute spot that we carry on our frequencies, to just being good-natured, involved in your church, active in the community, and becoming dear friends. I love their heart for the Lord, their passion for God's Word, their creative ways of sharing their life, their personalities with people. We kind of have the extrovert and the introvert. Maybe we'll touch on that a little bit at some point during today's broadcast. But by way of Testimony Tuesday, should we start with the fastball, John? Okay, we'll explain that a little later on maybe. But we appreciate Kendra Smiley joining us today, John joining us in a few moments here. But Kendra, how about giving us a little of your faith journey?
Absolutely. Well, I was dropped off at Sunday school. It was down the block, about three blocks from where I grew up. And I enjoyed it because it was a social event. I didn't really pay much attention. I did go through, and it was a Protestant church, but I went through a catechism. And again, that was okay because it was a social experience, but it really made absolutely no difference in my life. And then there was something happened that made a difference in my life. I was 16 years old, and my dad was big on work. You all will work. My brother and sister worked at factories different times as they hit the age to be old enough to do that. And I started out, I was detasseling corn. Hmm. Yeah, that's a great job.
Yes.
And then they offered senior life saving at the pool there where I grew up in Paxton. So I thought, well, this is an upgrade. I don't care if it is, you know, a dollar an hour, whatever it was at the time. I am definitely going to take senior life saving. So we had this instructor, and he was good. He was kind of hard on us, I thought. Finally, we went through all the testing, you know, the endurance swim. And then the last day of testing, we had to rescue the victim. And this was our instructor. But he asked his younger brother to come and join him that day to be a victim, too, so he wouldn't be worn out by the end of that testing. So the younger brother got there, and I noticed him because he was really cute. Really, really cute. And so I thought to myself, I am getting in the brother's line. And then I looked around and I realized all my girlfriends had noticed also.
They were all in the brother's line.
Yes. And so I decided to get in the brother's line first. And so I did. And I like to say, Kendra got John in a cross chest carry and never let go.
It was John?
It was John.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
The poor man was blindsided. I remember. I know. I remember after the...
But it never hurts to retell this story because...
I love
it. You know,
it.
That handsome, good-looking guy,
Oh, I love this story.
It still rings
it's
my child.
It's a great story. It's a great story.
So after the thing, we had a little lunch break, all the people that had taken this life-saving test, and John was still there. And I got kind of bold, and I said, what are you going to do this afternoon?
What are you doing for the rest of your life?
Yeah. I wasn't that bold yet.
Yeah. Now, you're 16... John, how old are you at this point?
19.
Yeah,
19, okay.
Yeah, he's a regular grown-up. Anyway, and so he was in college. And so he said, well, I'm going to ride horses from my dad's farm to my grandpa's farm. And I say, very simply, I love horses. Love might have been a little extension of the truth.
Had you ever been on a horse?
Yes, I had been on a horse. I'm not sure. I didn't want to touch them, though. Anyway,
one or two times.
No, at least half a dozen. Anyway, and so he kind of, I suppose, deer in the headlights said, oh, you want to have help. Obviously, I want to help you ride horses. And so he took me out to his dad's farm, and I got on one horse, he got on the other, and we rode him to Grandpa's house. I don't know how we got back. There must have been some plan. Anyway, and I went home that day, and this is absolutely true. My best girlfriend, Jane, lived next door. Jane and I were best friends from the minute they moved next door before kindergarten. And I said to Jane, I think I just met the man I'm going to marry. Now, that was not prophecy. That was wishful thinking. And from that point forward, we began to date. I was still in high school. John was at the University of Illinois. The poor man went to two junior-senior proms.
Oh.
This is about the time. In
that's
fact,
true love.
Oh,
when you're
nice.
An older guy
oh,
coming back.
Gosh.
And,
oh, that's so impressive.
I can't believe
it
I did
brutal, it. It was brutal, Mark. It was brutal.
And interestingly,
but she was worth it.
Oh, yeah. That'd be very good. Anyway, interestingly enough, about this time, our fathers were having conversations independently. My father with me, John's father with him. And my father said to me, John is too old for you, but he's a good boy, and good boys don't grow on trees. My dad saw the Jesus in John. I didn't even know about Jesus yet. And John's dad, John came home one day from college, I guess, and said, I think I'm going to break up with Kendra. And John's dad said, I don't think you know what you've got a hold of. Aww. I think you better relax or something. Anyway, well, that's how it all began. We got married. I was 20 years old. He'd finished college and actually taught for a year and was ready to go into the Air Force. He was in ROTC. And off we went. And we were there at the base in Big Spring, Texas, where, believe me, nothing was going on. And after about, it was so hard. And I hadn't finished college yet. And after about maybe 2 days, 3 days, 1 week, I looked at him and I said, okay, I don't understand something. You are having fun and I am not. What's the difference? And it was, I could imagine him in his mind going, oh, finally she asked me about Jesus. And that's exactly what he told me about.
Oh.
And my comment was, well, let's get on with it.
Oh, wow.
And I prayed that day, and it took. It was wonderful.
Right, and some of your listeners out there might say, wow, John, you know, what were you thinking about? Because the Bible says not to be unequally yoked. I didn't know that.
Right.
I didn't know that. I had accepted Christ when I was 16. I really didn't have a teacher, and I hadn't got into the Word, and so I didn't know that. And so we did Kendra mainly, but we did youth for about 20 or 21 years, and that's one of the things that the youth would ask us about. Well, you guys got married, and Kendra wasn't a Christian. What's going on there? And God, in His grace, protected that Kendra, 2 weeks after we were married, like she said, she came to know Christ. But we tell young people, don't missionary date.
Right.
You know, that did happen in our case. But if you think you're going to get married and then that other person is going to come to Christ, that's not a good thing to do. If I had to do it over again, Kendra and I would have been talking about Jesus long before we walked up the aisle.
Yeah, it's his fault that I wasn't a Christian
sooner. And it was my fault, but I didn't know that.
No.
And God knew Kendra's heart.
Oh, God is good.
God is very good.
And talk a little more about that decision that you made at 16, because I'm sure there's some people tuning in that are thinking, what do you mean, like a relationship with God, or what do you mean becoming a Christian, or what is following Jesus? What was going on in your life at 16 that you came to a decision point?
Yeah, that's really interesting. In my life, it's not like Kendra's. I started going to church when I was a little baby. I like to say I started going to church when I was in her uterine, because my mom and dad went to church all the time. So I grew up in the church.
Yes.
And an evangelist came. When I was 16, we had an evangelist. His name was Jack Cayley. Came to our little church, and he started talking about Jesus. And he talked about Jesus. And as he talked about Jesus, I realized that he was talking about a friend. He was talking about somebody that he talked to every day. He was talking about, you know, this personal relationship, if you will, that actually Jesus was somebody that he walked with, talked with, and was an integral part of his life. And so it was a week-long, back then, we had week-long revivals.
Yes. Oh, I remember
and,
that.
The old days.
And so I knew, and you know you're sitting there, and the Holy Spirit starts to deal with you. And that's what happened to me. I was sitting in that little pew in that little church, and the Holy Spirit started dealing with me, and I knew what was going on, that I didn't have that relationship. I didn't know Jesus. I knew Jesus as a Sunday school kid and the stories, but I had no idea the Jesus that he was talking about as far as a personal relationship. And interestingly enough, I knew that I didn't get up out of my pew and go down to the altar and give my life to Christ. I went home because I knew there was going to be another meeting the next night. And I asked my dad, I said, is it okay if I go down front? Because I really feel the Holy Spirit. He said, yeah, absolutely. And so anyway,
he was probably a bit excited knowing that you were asking that question.
Yeah, well, and that was interesting too, because he was a Sunday school teacher and, like I said, been in church and a role model in that regard. And I went down to the altar, and little did I know that right after that he did.
He followed his dad followed him down to the altar.
Really?
So dad being a Sunday school teacher, been in church, but the relationship that he had, you know, to give his life to Christ. So anyway, at 16, then I realized that thing that we see in the Bible of going from death to life. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Right. That's in my life when I became born again. And that is why... And this sounds kind of strange in a church, but there was one lady that was kind of teaching the Bible. And other than that, nobody was really saying, okay, you accepted Christ. Now let's get into the Word and let's really study and see what that's. And nobody was doing that. And so that's why that when I met Kendra, I didn't know that you were
discipling.
I never, ever heard that you were not supposed to be unequally yoked. So anyway, that was my beginning, and I really didn't start growing. Kendra and I together when we got married until I was stationed at Wright-Patterson over in Ohio, and a dear friend over there said, John, you and Kendra need to come to this Bible study.
Oh, wow. It was great.
And yeah. It was very good. I resisted. And then finally, actually, I told Kendra, I said, would you tell Joe that we're going to come to this Bible study? I need to get him off my back. He won't let up. And we went to the Bible study and it changed my life.
Oh, wow.
This is a man who knew the Word of God. And, I mean, he knew it backwards, forwards, upside down. And something would happen. He'd go, on guard. And then he would recite a Bible verse that had something to do with whatever was going on.
Oh,
just a great friend.
And it's a fascinating thing when all of a sudden that you have been born again, but somebody opens the Bible up to you start reading it to you. And my goodness, I could not believe what was in there and just devoured, you know, that information.
So, Kendra, you're newly married. You're seeing this difference in your husband, in John. You're sitting kind of shut in. You're probably not thriving in that setting. And so there's some emptiness that's maybe being exposed. And you're saying, I want what you have. Take us through that process. Like, what happened?
It was so interesting because, I was just waiting for somebody to tell me how to get saved. I just had never heard it before. And when I understood that, I mean, my wattage was out of control. I should have gone to the desert for more than 40 days and 40 nights. Anyway, and so interestingly enough, what did I start to do? Well, I started to teach Sunday school. I knew nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, now, and we went to the chapel at the base, and basically at that point there was either a Protestant chapel or a Catholic chapel. We went to the Protestant one, and so they asked me if I'd teach, and God is so fun. I taught preschool.
Yeah.
And I barely stayed ahead of them.
Yeah. Oh.
But I could. It was I needed preschool Sunday school.
Oh, you learned with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then God gave me something fun to do. I love physical education. That's what I ultimately got my degree in. And I was taking the base commander's daughter to gymnastics every day. And we're still friends on Facebook. She's a believer. And God just put all these people in my life.
I think you have a lot of friends.
Oh.
I know you do. I can tell.
I like people.
I know you do. I can tell.
Anyway, it's just God is so big and so wants to be your personal Savior. It's amazing.
Let me tell a little story about Kendra and the wattage that she had. One of the things was that her dad was an alcoholic, and she really didn't want to talk about that. And we got out to California, and we were out there at a base, Castle Air Force Base, and we went to a Bible study. And at one point, she decided that the Lord wanted her to talk about her dad being an alcoholic. And it was really, really hard for her. But she did. She was obedient to what the Lord wanted her to do. And so she did at that Bible study. She said, I just want to share this with everybody here. And little did we know that the next morning there was this lady our age came knocking at our door and walked in and sat down, and she said, "I need to talk to you, Kendra." And she said, "My dad was an alcoholic too, and I've never been able to talk about it. And when I heard you talking about it last night, I knew that that was something that I needed to take care of in my life and to start talking about it." Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
How God works in our lives if we're obedient, and we do lots of times things that we're uncomfortable with, but He has a reason for that. Not only did that help Kendra to talk about that, but He used that then to help somebody else. And that her wattage was way...
Still is.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
Well, we've talked about this, Marianne, in the past, the power of a story.
Amen.
And how
Amen.
God uses our experiences. Because I'm thinking there's somebody that has some stories to tell that if they would just share it, they don't maybe realize what hope or comfort or, wow, I would have never thought you experienced that. You seem so healthy, or we just thought you had the perfect life. We would have never guessed you've been through that situation. I know for some women, when they share their abortion experience and the healing and hope that they can bring, or a man suffering through whatever situation and how he's overcome it, or how God brought healing and hope. And I'm thinking with you, Kendra, as God poured love into you, as you began to connect with His love, His care, His compassion, I'm sure that was part of a healing process that allowed you to take the next step to be vulnerable and share with others.
Absolutely. And what you said, I went back home to live with my folks for a while because John was flying all over the world. All over the world? Well, all over Texas. And it's a big state. And I needed to get another semester at the University of Illinois. And now I'm a believer. And so I'm praying every night, and my dad's bedroom was across the hall from mine. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, "Oh, God, please change Dad. Please change Dad." And I'd pray for my dad to change. And one night, I shut my mouth and opened my ears, and I heard in the still small voice of God, "How about you let me change you?" Mm-hmm. And I argued for a while. Wait, excuse me, I'm a teetotaler because by choice, you know, it's my personal non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, this is God talking, Kendra, so you probably need to go along with the plan. You know, okay, change me, God. And the way He changed me was to give me compassion for my dad. Mm. And I was able to go across the hall every single night, whether he was drunk or sober, and talk to him and just ask him about his day.
Well, that's powerful.
And tell him about my day. And I couldn't have done that without God's power.
Before that, Kendra was very sarcastic with her dad when he was drunk.
I was. Not when he was sober.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
And so that was a huge thing, to be able to go in and sit with him and not be sarcastic and not be angry at him for being drunk.
Yeah, sarcasm, I know that's another topic Marianne and I have talked about, but I see it in men, and it was true of me. We're sarcastic oftentimes because we have pain or inner hurt, and we don't know how to deal with
Amen.
It. And so I have been called a nice jerk. and a counselor walked me through that, and I thought it was funny, but I was using sarcasm because I didn't know how to deal with some hurt and pain, and so sarcastic things would come out of my mouth, and they said, "Mark, that's not nice. You're being a jerk."
It's a defensive mechanism.
Yeah,
it is. And Kendra found that out because she was very good at it.
Yeah.
She could get somebody really very quickly until our oldest son started being sarcastic, and she said, "Whoa, where did he hear that?"
Yeah. That's from your side of the family, John.
He was also very good, and then she realized and went back and looked at it and found out just what, you know, there was something there.
That wasn't the beloved middle child, I hope.
That was the oldest.
And I was able to talk to him about it because it's usually you're masking something when you're sarcastic.
You're right.
And so I was able to say, "Yeah, you know, I'll quit if you'll quit." That's great.
Yeah, Mark's really into this middle child.
I always still seeps out.
I thought we'd gotten beyond that.
No, not yet. That is like 80-year-olds and older.
You're
always
still be talking about that.
I just love those senior saints that can model for me being healthy and engaged and active and involved. And I'm thinking, gosh, that could be me in 20, 25, 30 years. I love senior saints that are still engaged and flourishing. Yeah. And nowadays, you know, many people in their 80s into their 90s are still very healthy and active.
Are you still going to be talking about being a middle child when you're 80?
Yes.
okay.
It breaded me.
You're going to start asking everybody that comes in if they're a middle
I love
child.
Those middle,
are you middle
child.
Yeah.
No, I'm the baby, and I look like the baby, and I act like the baby.
Yes. I was going to say I'm the youngest before you said that. I don't want to say it now.
No, it's good. It's all good. It's all good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
No, John, brothers and sisters? I can't remember.
Yeah, I've got an older brother. I'm the second born then, but I am a middle child, but my sister is 6 years younger, and then I've got a brother 12 years younger.
Okay.
So, you know, the two. So it's really those two were first born.
Sure.
And only in you know, when you look at the years.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're an extrovert like I am, this whole social distancing is terrible. Yeah. And no hugging and all those other things. And one day I woke up and I announced to John, I just want you to know that I am officially depressed today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I need to tell you that one good friend of mine one time told me, depression for you is mild euphoria for the rest of the world. Okay, but I was. And so we go into town, put that in air quotes, to get the mail. So he'd gone in to get the mail. And he brought it. And I said, oh, you have a letter. And I said, oh, good. And I opened up the letter. And it was from a friend of mine who lives in Toledo, Ohio, that I see maybe once a year. And she wrote, and she said, I've just been praying for you and thinking about you. And I just hope everybody in your family's doing okay and you're doing okay. I miss you. Hope I get to see you in January. And I said, John, think about it. God knew how I was going to feel this morning. He not only told Barb to write a card of encouragement, he told her when to mail it.
Right, oh, my goodness.
Right.
Yay, God.
Right when you needed
it.
Oh,
I love that.
That is kind of those divine appointments.
Amen.
Where God brings the person or the circumstance or the situation or weaves in right what we need when we need it. And he's never too early, never too late, just on time. And it's usually a stretching process. It's that refining fires where maybe it's a character trait he has to work out of us, but needs us kneeling or surrendering or submitting or obeying or changing habits, whatever it is.
Or listening to send a card.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, that many times
Amen.
People say, if God puts somebody on your heart,
Amen.
Pray for them because
yeah.
you never know what they're going through at the time.
Oh, that's happened so
yeah.
many times, yeah.
yeah. Oh, well, in case you're just joining us, the tail end of this program, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. But we have John and Kendra Smiley in the studio with us. They were a part of Memorization Monday yesterday. Today's Testimony Tuesday. Now, you have lots of books and resources. How can someone get in touch with you to find out more about your ministry work or to maybe purchase some of your books? Because there's so many different topics we could talk on, and we'll certainly have you back. But is there a website? How do they
yes,
get in touch
there
with
is,
you?
Is it KendraSmiley.com? Thanks, John. All this electronic stuff.
Yes.
I have a love-hate relationship with technology.
Well, you're married to a man who flew major
yes.
airplanes and airports. I think you're covered.
Yeah.
Do we call you the Colonel?
No.
The Colonel. The Colonel.
He has to know something about technology,
yeah.
one
yeah.
would hope.
So KendraSmiley.com.
KendraSmiley.com. All right. Well, thank you for joining us yesterday and for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And I do hope you're encouraged by something that's been shared or said. Yesterday's verse was, be joyful always. And that's out of 1 Thessalonians 5:16. May we carry that throughout the week and look at our circumstances as maybe a divine appointment that God's going to use us to bring healing or hope or encouragement to somebody today. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.